Together. In case you're wondering, we're a band called Fairport Convention. Without you, we couldn't exist, but we have turned the clock back tonight and we're celebrating something quite special. But I'd like to introduce the culprits, if I may. This is a man from whom I learned everything that he forgot about guitar playing. His music is mother's milk to me. Your friend and mine, Richard Thompson. Sitting beside the most important bass drum in the world is a young man who had the misfortune to buy a copy of The Melody Maker sometime in 1969 and scan the musician's wanted column. Drummer needed. Must have own hair and passport. Dave Mattox fitted the bill. On the bass over there is an eminence grise. A man who is responsible for all of this palaver, I suppose. Ultimately, it was his doing. It's Ashley Hutchings. And of course, None of this would be possible without the most brave of bravest stand-ins, the lovely Chris Weil. There's a guy in the corner there who's the best advertisement for the National Health Service I have ever wished to know. And in this adoring multitude of grateful folks who are happy to see him striding the stage again, I hope there's 20,000 people out there who are signed up to the organ donor registry. Get on it. Anyway, back to the plot.
Servant who was just to say that we won't be doing an encore. Because the album is the album, you know? That's it. So the next one is the last one. We go off into the night.
But it's been fun for us to do this. And thank you very much for giving us the opportunity.
Crazy man. Absolutely brilliant stuff. Matty Groves, Fairport Convention, live on stage at the Crop Ready Festival. And I was one of 25,000 people jumping up and down in time to that. Before Matty Groves, you heard Renadine and Come All Ye, the first three tracks from their seminal album, Liege and Leaf. Well, I caught up with guitarist and founding member of Fairport, Simon Nicol, backstage before the show, and asked him why they'd decided to do the album live now, nearly 40 years after it was made.
I think the spur to it was the fact that when we got the award for Liege and Leaf as an album, which was a great tribute to the band and a wonderful compliment, you suggested that we should come along and receive the award and also do a song from it, which we did. And it was such a joy to get the old lags back on stage together. The seed was planted there. And it's been weird building up to it. I'm really looking forward to it. And I'm really, really crossing my fingers it goes as well as it should do. But it's funny, really, because there are some songs from Liege and Leaf which have never really left the Fairport repertoire, whatever incarnation it's had, you know. But to do that, the whole album from start to finish, things that we're relatively unfamiliar with, things like Renadine and Farewell, Farewell, it's almost as if we're becoming our own tribute band just for those 45 minutes. It's kind of spooky,
yeah,
but it's lovely to be working with everybody, and of course Chris Wilde is, you know, the perfect person.
Yeah. Which brings me to the next question, really, or the next thing I want you to just talk a little bit about, which is Sonia Denny. What an amazing person she was.
Well, it's clear that, you know, she cast a big shadow. You know, of all the number of albums the band has made, she's on a small percentage. Of all the number of gigs we've done, she's almost disappearingly small. But mm-hmm. everybody remembers her. That's how big she was.
Simon Nicol. Well, let's go back to the live performance of Liege and Leaf with a song written by Richard Thompson. Farewell, Farewell. Farewell, Farewell, the Richard Thompson song from Fairport Convention's Liege and Leaf live concert, recorded on stage at Crop Ready Festival this year. Well, I caught up with Richard Thompson backstage and asked him when was the last time they'd all played together in this lineup.
I think this actual lineup, it's been since the 60s, really.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I've played with just about everybody
in
one configuration or another, yeah. You know, but this is the first time that we've all been together.
Casting your mind back to the Liege and Leaf album, what would you remember about the recording?
Well, we've always recorded fairly quickly, and that was no exception. We probably did it in a couple of weeks.
Was it a bit of a revelation to you to be working with that kind of material?
Yeah, I suppose so. We sort of crept into it. I mean, over the previous couple of years, we'd added some traditional songs to the repertoire.
Yeah.
And I think after we had our motorway at crash, you know, we said, well, you know, it's time for a new direction. Let's make an album as a kind of a project.
Right.
You know, it'd be great for us. It'd be great for the audience to hear this stuff. It'd be great to revive these great old songs. And it'll make Fairport, you know, a more genuine band. We won't be a band, you know, aping American styles. You know, we can actually create our own musical form.
Yeah. What's it been like for you revisiting the album, you know, rehearsing it with the band, getting it all back together again? What kind of an experience has it been?
Well, it's interesting. I sort of thought that I remembered everything. There's a few things I've forgotten, which I discovered at rehearsal. But, you know, it's fairly easy. I mean, it's something that's never gone that far from my mind. You know, some songs I still perform solo. Like, I'll still do, like, a version of Crazy Man Mike or something at a solo show. And I've done Matty Groves previous years here with Fairport, you know. So some of that stuff isn't too far away. And the rest of it, you know, falls fairly easily under the fingers. You know, it's no great stretch.
You're listening to Mike Harding with a live version of the Fairport Convention album, Liege and Leaf, voted to be the most influential folk album of all time by listeners to Radio 2 at the Folk Awards last year. Well, that was The Deserter, with the 1969 lineup of Fairport Convention, with Chris Wilde standing on vocals for the late Sandy Denny. Well, Chris Wilde remembers the first time she heard Liege and Leaf.
I was about 15, and my friend Ronnie Smith, blind Jake Ronnie, he was working at the shipyard, and he was losing his job because he was losing his eyesight, and he had two children and a wife to keep, and so he decided to sell his record collection. I said, oh, you can't sell him. He said, no, I've got to, and I want you to have first pick. And I didn't even have a record player. And he said, well, I'll pick you 10 then. I said, how much? He said, £1 each. I said, okay. So he picked 10 classics, including Unhalfbricking and Liege and Leaf. The effect was, all of a sudden, these people were making the kind of music that I'd chosen to go into really cool. And I thought that was great. And they were on the stage at Loughborough Festival after Jimi Hendrix and The Experience, and he wanted to get up and play with them. And all of a sudden, it was much cooler to be in this music, which a lot of people didn't understand at the time. Right. They thought that if you were a folk singer, you would, you know, obviously wearing a tankard and an Aran sweater. And it had such a bad press, didn't it?
And still does to some extent.
I know.
How difficult have you found it to fill Sandy Denny's shoes, you know, because it's a hard act to follow, isn't it?
Well, I think it's probably impossible, the answer to that. But I try my best to represent the songs, and I do look, I'm visiting the album again. I thought, I wonder what it's going to be like, you know, is it still going to be as good? It's just as good.
Mm.
I remember when I was 15 and singing Into the Mirror with my hairbrush to Fairport Convention, and then 20 years later I joined the Albion Band with Simon Nicol and Ashley Hutchings, and then 2 years later Simon asked me to sing Who Knows Where the Time Goes with the band here, and that felt like a full circle and a dream come true, and not many people get to have that.
That was Chris Weil. Well, when fiddler Dave Swarbrick joined the band for the Legion Leaf album, his playing changed the sound of the band completely and absolutely, because unlike the others, he was already deeply steeped in the English folk tradition.
Yeah, well, I think that was the reason why they asked me to join. They wanted to get into traditional music, and they'd heard me play and so on, but they wanted the material that I could bring to them as well.
Can you remember clearly what happened in those days of recording, or is it just gone in the mists of memory?
I can hardly remember anything clearly what happened about then, but...
What about the arrangements? Did you work them out between you, or was it mostly one person?
Some of the stuff like Matty Groves was... Yeah. It kind of arranged itself. I mean, that end tune to Matty Groves I got from Eddie West.
Really?
That... I came from Eddie. And the words just came out of Childs. And then we took the tune to Little Sadie Grove and put them all together. So that was how that one came about.
Were you conscious of the fact that something very special was happening?
No, not at all. As time progressed, we were, as you know, all living together in the house. And friends would come down periodically and stay. And they would tell us how very different this was. And so we would get an idea from that it was. But ourselves, we didn't know.
Over the years since, have you listened to it often, or is
never.
It something? No,
I've never been able to play it. Since Sandy died. I've never been able to touch
really.
It.
What's it been like revisiting the songs and the tunes now for the show?
Not as difficult as I thought. I mean, emotionally, not as difficult as I thought. The material itself is locked into the various members' minds. It's there. It doesn't matter how long it took. If it was 70 years, I think we'd still be able to do it. I hope.
Good stuff. That was The Lark in the Morning, Rakish Paddy, Fox Hunter's Jig and Toss the Feathers, the only set of tunes on the Legion Leaf album. Well, here's the producer of Legion Leaf, Joe Boyd, who explains how he became involved with the group.
In 1967, I had gotten a job with Elektra Records, which lasted a year in England. And I'd signed the Incredible String Band, and I'd done a few other things. And I decided I wanted to stay in England, and I needed cash. I mean, I needed a way to pay my rent. And we decided to start a weekly club called UFO. And it's where the Pink Floyd started and Soft Machine and Arthur Brown and all these people. And so we were constantly looking for new talent, new groups to put in that our audience would respond to. And there was something about them that I really liked. And I said, okay, let's give you a shot as a support act at UFO. And they announced they were going to play East West, which was a Paul Butterfield, Mike Bloomfield show-off guitar solo instrumental. And Richard Thompson stepped forward and took this solo. And he went on for chorus after chorus after chorus, completely outdoing Mike Bloomfield. Mm-hmm. And I just stood there, open-mouthed, you know, and I turned into the cliche at the end of the set. You know, I could have walked, stormed into the dressing room waving a contract saying, sign here, I'll make you a star, you know. And that's how it all started with Fairport.